Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, and how are you radiating today? Well, we want to suggest here that you should be radiating by design. That is putting out the chosen vibrations that come from your higher self, your higher consciousness, and that wisdom that you integrate from life experiences and your intentional lifestyle in this life. And remember, we're all trying to learn to live in love as well. And some people radiate love more than other people. I think it's at birth, you know, but we can all learn. So this is Veronica Entwistle with Radiance by Design. This is a call-in show. We want to talk to you today about all kinds of things. I sent out my little flyer. For those of you who would like to receive the weekly flyer on WhatsApp, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. But I'm changing my topic today. And the reason for that is because I've had a few experiences that have taught me a great deal. And so guess what? I'm going to use that information to chat with you today. What I like to do always, I work with, for those of you who don't know, I work as a wonderful coalescence of guides and angels. They are very, very beautiful and very loving, and they have trained me so well in energy work and in counseling and taught me through the years about myself and about those people I love, and about many, many, many clients. So I love it when you call in, because as we chat, quite often guided by the guides before we start the show, as we chat and as you call in, we're going to use the lessons that they teach us to move energy in your body, mind, and help you see and feel and know what you're radiating and how to change it to make it preferable. The other thing I found by doing radio is that until I get my lipstick on, I don't think I do a very good show. Now, isn't that a good example of how we radiate? I put my lipstick on and I think I look simply hot diggity. And when I feel like I'm hot diggity, I radiate out there that I'm happier, that I'm full of beans, that I'm ready to go. So, girls, get your lipstick on. Some of you guys, too, I noticed you've been wearing lipstick lately yourselves. So let's get ourselves ready to radiate consciously. And also the first thing I like to do, besides having this little preamble, is talk to you about or teach you or share with you what we call the structures, which are a vibrational meditational tool. And in these structures, which we're going to create with the sculpting tool of our minds and our consciousness, we're going to create a structure in which it's like a laboratory in which you can create and manifest the reality you want. You can bring in people who need healing. You can work on yourself. You can dream your future. It just enhances all that kind of stuff for just yourself or for the whole planet. Another thing we're going to be talking about today is what we do for ourselves. And I don't mean, you know, eat bonbons and buff our nails. I mean what we do to tap into the journey of our souls and the wisdom and wit that we've got there, and our desire to really improve ourselves, to release reactive energies and that which stifles our true capacity for love and so on. All that we do for ourselves on that level radiates, talk about radiance by design, radiates out there. And as it radiates out there, it's hugely helpful for the collective and for the species. So let's start off with our structure. And what I'd like you to do for that is close your eyes, unless you're driving. Excuse me for that. Close your eyes unless you're driving. Let's take a few deep breaths. A couple more. Let's call in our guides and angels. Let's call in the presence of our higher selves. And let's ask to be connected to link up with source energy, that which fuels us and fuels our guides and angels. Excellent. You can usually feel quite a little buzz when you do these. Now we're going to ask for the violet flame to come up in the corners of your room. All the corners of your room fill with a violet flame, burning, burning, transforming all the leftover thoughts and feelings. We're doing our housekeeping. It's nice that our equipment doesn't make a big buzz, isn't it? And now build those violet flames and have them burn and burn and transform all the leftover thoughts and feelings. And I'll build those violet flames and have them move to the right in a great grand spiral. And they move to the right all around your room, and they spiral into the center of your room. Feel them build and glow and build and glow and burn and burn and burn. Great. Now take a minute and jump into them and feel yourself tumbling around and around in the violet flames. And those radiant thoughts and feelings left over from old experiences burn and burn and transform, and there you are, purified. Now come back into your chair. Sit back in your chair and relax. And now we're going to bring above your head, we're going to bring into your awareness a beautiful golden ball. And it'll be 2 miles above your head. And below your spine, perhaps 40 feet, another golden ball. And from the upper golden ball down through your spine and into the lower golden ball, drop your filament of light. And today it seems this really strange green, the noble gas greens. And it's extremely bright. I sure feel it. And now around your waist in an 8-foot radius, whole series of golden balls. And now from the upper golden ball down to the series of golden balls, drop many, many filaments of pink light. Now you've got a canopy pointing up. And now from that circle of golden balls to the lower golden ball, drop many, many filaments of pink light. And you have a canopy pointing down. And there you are in a structure. And now inside of that structure, the edges of our crystal ball touch the inside edges of our structure. So you have this beautiful crystal ball. What colors do you see in your crystal ball? Yeah. And then move inside of that, and there you are, for those of you who know how to do it, the star tetrahedron, which is like a pyramid pointing up and a pyramid pointing down, and then if you squash them so they interact about a third of the way in and make a big star, you're in your star tetrahedron, which is like the Merkaba. That's your light body that you change dimensions with. Or if it's easier for you, then just be in a double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And where they meet together, it makes it look like a diamond. So there you are inside your diamond. Whether you're in the star tetrahedron or the diamond, spin and spin and spin. And feel the delightful dizziness of that spin. And whilst you're spinning, see in front of you a beautiful screen, and on this magical screen, present little movies of what it is you're trying to accomplish on a soul level, on a healing level, on a resource financial level, perhaps a global level. And who is it that you're trying to help? Nurture, soothe, see them on your magic screen, accomplishing what it is they're setting out to do. Isn't it wonderful? You can actually see, feel, and know beings actually achieving it. This vicarious life of the media. We're creating our own. Thank you very much. Now remember, always feel when you're seeing yourself accomplishing something you want to accomplish, feel it as if it's really you in that movie doing it, because that's how you bring your manifestations to you. Yeah, and one more thing, I want us to really look at the globe, and from you and through your screen emanate all around the globe, our beautiful earth, a healing, pink, harmonizing light. We're sending love all around the globe. And then move back into your center, back into your spinning tetrahedron, either the star or just the double tetrahedron. and still yourself. And here we all are today with our structure moving like mad. What is it that happens when you do your structure? Are you having any results? What kind of manifestations have you brought up? I know that it does enhance the rate at which we manifest that which we're trying to do. Excuse me. Now, it's interesting that I was going to talk about being, just being today. But, you know, I've had these experiences through the years. I'm an energy counselor, and the reason I am, and the reason I'm an intuitive, is like a lot of you who are intuitives, is life was very rambunctious for me. And, of course, those of us who have a certain kind of pressure when we're young, we sort of move out of the third dimension. Maybe you've come in with a soul that's already destined to do that, or maybe you've just been knocked out of the third dimension in enough little sporadic episodes to teach yourself how to wander around out there and really enjoy it. Now, the other thing I've learned is energy. I used to get very dizzy, fall over, be very confused in groups of people. You know, I even fell asleep in the middle of a Bob Dylan concert one time just because of the collective energies of all kinds of people. So anyway, I've learned through the years to use energy as a tool for assessing what's going on. But sometimes I forget, you know, you get occupied with the moment and so on. I have a wonderful girlfriend, and she's very, very controlling, and that doesn't mean I don't love her, I just adore her. But it used to be years ago, when we first got involved as friends, I would forget what I was doing. I would feel this incredible, almost like somebody reached out with an invisible hand and placed it in brain in such a way that my brain was stilled and it wouldn't function. And I realized perceptively that it wasn't really that my brain couldn't function. It was that the energy of control that this woman was emanating would hit my brain like a sheet of some limiting force. It was very interesting. So I would, when I finally caught on, I would imagine, I'd go inside myself, and I would imagine that I had both my arms coming up. You know how you can put your arms in front of each other and then let them separate so that they blast apart, say, anything that's confining you or containing you. And I would do that in my mind's eye. She never saw me do that. But I could clear that energy, and all of a sudden my brain would be functioning again. So what happened is I was out. I mean, I kind of pay attention to this stuff, but I don't make it a real big deal. I do set up double tetrahedrons if I'm in certain places and protect myself and so on. But I was with a number of different people yesterday, and I wasn't thinking about it, and I wasn't protecting myself or anything. Not that this is really damaging, but it can be really limiting, and this is the part I want you to hear. I was sitting somewhere, and there were several people there, and I suddenly realized I could not remember what I'd been doing a few days earlier. I mean, all kinds of, like, I knew who I was in the moment. I could remember the moment, but I couldn't remember back a couple of days. It was very strange. And I kind of panicked, and then I chuckled. I went, no, wait a minute. So I stayed in my center, and I could feel it. The energy coming toward me was very warm and very kind of loving, but it was really controlling. I could feel it. It was pushing against me, and my brain wouldn't remember. I couldn't access. I went, oh, yeah, that's the old energy of somebody else's control. And it's not done in, these are not things that are done in malicious ways by people. It's how people cope. We were going to talk about beingness, but it's kind of how people cope with their beingness, the presentation of their own, what would you call it, their personality, their style of being, their style of making their way in the world. And, of course, I've already called myself an energy counselor, so guess what? I got to get these lessons straight. And I realized, I went, wow, there's a kind of a soft cushion pushing against my brain. And I had to mentally, again, push it back. And, again, the relief was there immediately, so I know it's right. And I just rose inside of myself and pushed a nice light back. And then I stopped. Now, this doesn't happen to some people because some people, I'm very, very empathic. Maybe it's because I have so much air in my chart. I don't know, but I'm very, very empathic. And now all of you are empathic to a degree. So some people won't be as afflicted by this as other people. But the relevant issue is that we don't always know who we are. You see, we could say, I'm the one with no memory. I'm the one who's limited in my thinking. I'm the one who, I'm just an empath so that I can be, and this is true about me as well, and many people I know, believe me, and I'm not going to mention your names over the air, I promise. We wander around and we start being or acting like or thinking like other people that we are with or that we love or that we don't like even, you know, that we can really take on. And I really believe it's true for our whole species, that we take on a great deal of subtle energy from one another. I always talk to you about the collective, how difficult it is to shift the whole collective. Because to me, the collective is a great big ocean of thoughts and feelings that have already been thunk, thank you very much. And if we're going to talk about human consciousness shifting, and then we're also talking about the limitation of my brain capacity and my creativity and my ability to think for myself because I just happen to be sitting in someone else's vibration, what do you think the whole collective is like? It's really, really a trick. And I think meditation is crucial for, well, I know meditation is crucial for this. It's a humongous trick to truly be oneself. I was talking to a wonderful friend, a dear friend and client the other day about self-reliance. And it was very interesting because it's a word, it's a term that a lot of us use, especially those people who are Enneagram aficionados. Let's try and talk again. Especially those who are Enneagram aficionados, where self-reliance is one of the categories. I think it's the eight, is it? The eight. So I'm used to the term being used in that context. But we ended up talking about self-reliance because I was channeling, and my guides were telling this wonderful fellow that he really needed to learn to do that rather than belong. And one of the reasons for that is because he's very empathic. And when he gets to belong with the thought process of a group, then there will come a time when he also has to, because of his personal integrity and drive, has to individuate in that group. And because he's a front runner, he's going to have to incite insecurity in other beings, and then the political structure's on. Then the game of who's right and who isn't. So I started to cogitate self-reliance and then thinking about, for example, being impacted by other people's energy and not being able to remember things, at least for that time. And how many other ways, sitting beside someone, do you move your hand the same way they do? Do you emulate whatever they do? Self-reliance is not that. Self-reliance is learning to pull yourself away long enough to find out what you're breathing in, what you're absorbing, and what's truly your own thoughts and feelings. Of course, the greatest culprit that we're all impacted by are the news media, because you turn on the, and I do this, I turn on the TV, but you turn on the TV or even sit too long at the computer, and we're actually absorbing tons of other people's thoughts and feelings. So when we talk about self-reliance, it is really a lot to do with training ourselves to move back into center and literally separating from all those influences long enough to know what you truly do think. Some of it is entrainment, where you train yourself to actually hold greater concepts and then learn to absorb them and digest them in your own body, mind, and so on. But some of it is just like you start running like you're programmed. You start running other people's thoughts and feelings. So what do you think about that? I want you all to call in, every single one of you. We'll see if we can do that. I probably don't have enough time, eh? But I want you to call in and let me know what you're thinking about your life. Are you empathizing? Are you having trouble thinking for yourself? Are you having any troubles breaking out of past patterns and becoming more and more true to who you really are? Are you still working with the familial chain of pain? Are you still running your mom's programs and your dad's programs? And I thought we would just talk about it. You can call in with any question you want, but I'm going to look for what is influencing you and can we break out of it and find our own wings. Lazarus, who we study with sometimes, always says that we can step away from any of this now. We're at the point of evolution as a species where we can literally step out of all these influences that have been pulling at us and designing who we are. And I was just flipping through Destiny of Souls by Michael Newton. For those of you who haven't read Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls, I sure encourage you to do that. But it's funny, I flipped open and there it was, all about self-reliance. And the other thing that I read about was that something we all know, which is working for the greater good is crucial as soul. But sometimes it's really hard because we're born with certain kinds of mental, physical, and emotional distortions, plus the soul's got its own learning curve. Thanks for your call. I'll be with you in just a minute. So our souls have their own learning curve. So it may not be as easy as pie just to separate yourself from the collective, because some of it we gallop in as souls with. We've already got it from other lifetimes and from our precious, precious growing experience as a soul. But it's possible. So we have a caller, our first caller. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. What's your name?
Beth.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
How's your life?
You're talking about self-reliance and stuff, and I'm actually going through a divorce.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's a real test of self-reliance, isn't it?
It is. It is. But it's almost like it's like the influence, though, of, like, my parents, because they're both married. And so it's like there's a part of me that's still kind of feeling, like, guilty, you know? Like, why am I not working it out? And then there's a part of me that's like, but I got to think about myself. And I feel like I'm, like, in this limbo land and, like, don't know where to go. Kind of thing. Like, it's kind of weird because it's very new. It's very new.
Well, one of the first things I wanted to say, just when we said hello, is that you have a very, very beautiful third eye, really wonderful, perceptive third eye, but it's blocked.
Yeah.
So then I want to take it a little farther and say, well, I'll do two things. I'll look at your relationship and see whether, I don't make those decisions for people, but I'll see, okay. So here's the deal, is can you become all you can be, or can you become truly Beth and stay in this relationship? Can you become truly Beth and stay in this relationship and please your parents? And the guides are immediately saying no, and the reason for that is there's a lot of your belief structure that you have absorbed from your parents. But, honey, I don't think you know this yet, but you're a very evolutionary kind of soul. You're someone who's going to break yourself and other people out of the kind of numbing reality that people take for granted.
Yeah.
And one of the ways you're going to do that is separating from some of your parents' belief structures. And they love you a lot. They're going to listen to you, and they're going to experience a change with you, where some people just hate each other and move apart, you know?
Yeah.
They're not going to hate you for it, but you're going to show them a different way of thinking and feeling, and you're going to rise in a very creative way as a result. Your husband actually loves you, but I don't know what he... Well, I can sort of see. The thing about him is that he's in a state of self-deception. Do you know that? And when we're
yeah.
in self-deception, we deceive other people as well. And so this whole break has to go on as much for his sake, because he needs to wake up to who he can really be. And this breakup is going to teach him to go a little bit crazy and then start to really examine who he is. So you see, it's a process that's not pleasant. It's the big golden bee, which we shudder at. But it's a necessary process for him to start waking up at the reality that he creates. And for you, it's going to evolve you 100 miles an hour over the next 10 years.
Wow.
So see, it's different than pleasing your parents. You won't please them because you'll break out of their style, but you really please them because you're going to be radiant and happy and strong and invested in giving service and giving to other people in a way that you don't expect right now. They're going to be very proud of you.
Great. Hey.
Yeah, so you see how it's kind of a jump shift. I don't know if you ever play bridge, but it's an old term, but it means you kind of shift the direction in which you're going. And and it jumps you, it moves you into an accelerated consciousness. And, you know, your parents are the kind who will think about it and watch you and allow themselves to perceive you differently.
Okay.
Some people's aren't, you know. For some people, it's the end of the line.
Yeah, my parents are pretty open. And I know they're very supportive. I mean, they are very supportive. But, I mean, you know, my mother has that old belief, like, you know, you stick it out, you know. Because she kind of stuck it out. My dad was great sometimes.
Well, you know,
he's a good guy now, but, you know.
It's a different society, too, because there are some huge changes coming up on the planet. And your parents didn't grow into that when they were young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not making excuses for you. I just see sort of a trajectory that you're going to go through. And you won't be very long before you're going to be married, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's something about your nature. You do better in that system, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever's gone on has shaken you and your faith and belief. So if you return to him, you'll find already that he's smaller than your memory of him. You've already broken out of the bag, you understand?
Yeah.
And he betrayed you, did he?
Yeah, he did.
But you know, deeply, he betrayed himself.
And I know that. I totally understand. See, that's just it. Like, I know he's a really good person, and I even forgave him. I even told him. I said, I forgive you, you know? Because I know what he's going through mentally, you know? It's just like that struggle. And he just doesn't see that. But it's just, I don't know. It's just, there's just, you know, I go through stages of one stage of being scared and the other stage of going, oh my God, how good could it really get? Oh my God, like excited.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what? Both of those are really healthy because it's scary. I mean, your whole identity. Remember, when you split with someone, your biochemistry has to change because, you know, that whole thing about enfolding with someone else's energy is truly biochemical. And you know, you get kind of dizzy, and there's all these weird feelings that'll go on for a while. Not all the time, but they come up. Have you experienced any of those?
Yeah. And, like, yeah, like when you were saying that in the beginning about the energy and stuff,
mm-hmm.
When he was in the room, it was like I'd absorb his energy, and I would just be, like, there. And, you know, it was just, and he's not here anymore. Like, I kicked him out. For a week. And so I'm in the house by myself, and I definitely feel a different energy.
And it will change and change, you know that.
What?
It'll change and change, and then there's a time coming that when you see him and sit with him, because you'll go out for dinner and stuff and talk, and you'll feel like, what was that connection? I don't feel that same connection at all. And it's not about animosity, it's not about being mad at or not mad at, it's about the energy overlays that are gone or changing, you know?
Huh.
It's fascinating, actually. And the thing about him is I think he can be a lifetime friend. Although, there's going to be a question about that after a while. But he has to grow up, Beth.
Yeah, I know.
Does that make sense?
He does.
Yeah. And so, you know, if we were floating around in the sky, we'd look down and go, oh, he needs to grow up, flick. Move him along, get going. So he thinks he moved, you know, he's the one who needed to move along. You know, not just into a better life, but into a better himself with himself. And he just wasn't awake to who, that's the thing, the word awaken is so good. You know, I know the Jehovah's Witnesses use it, but I guess they have some wisdom too, don't they?
Yeah.
But the awakening is so important, and you're just going to go like a house of fire, girl. You're going to be adorable, charismatic. You're going to get more and more psychic. You're going to cry like mad for him, and then you're going to go, what was that all about?
Oh, great.
And all of that's great. You know, be dramatic, be emotional, because those are things that really teach us what's going on inside. You know, some of your grief is for your mother for some reason. I don't mean about you and she. I mean for her own life.
Mm.
You know, because there's something about... I think it's Carolyn Mace who said betrayal is one of the biggest steps into your spiritual path.
Really?
Yeah. So you start playing with these images, even if you're crying, and go, well, this is interesting. And our spiritual path looks like it's it's a mystery path sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, I do feel like I'm going through this awakening. Because when I decided to leave him, I was, like, going through a cleanse.
Isn't that wonderful?
It was, like, just totally cleansing everything.
So you shouldn't have started that cleanse, and I'm teasing.
Wait, what?
I said, oh, yeah, you shouldn't have started the cleanse.
I know, right?
but I'm really just teasing you because
I know
you're right on track, girl. And this is a very exciting year for you, even though it feels fraught, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you're doing. What are you doing for a living? Because something's going to open up really fast.
Well, acting would be great, but I'm doing like side jobs right now because I'm an actor. And that's the other thing. It's like, I just feel like my friends are like, so what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm sort of waiting to be told what to do.
And you will
from the
be.
The universe.
Honey, you will be, because all of a sudden you get something big. And I think it's an acting part, but there, you may be participating in like a long show or something in which you're actually participating in the show itself. Are you a theater actress?
Well, I do theater, but my main focus right now is TV and film.
Well, maybe it's a longer TV show, because I just see something where you're involved in something that goes on a long time, and some part of it's acting, and it's going to be quite interesting for you.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm in an improv group, and that we're going to be doing an ongoing show starting in June.
Are you turning it into a television show?
No, but I do have thoughts of my friend and I we're going to do some shorts, and that I want to... I want that to turn into like some kind of series or something.
Okay, because there's something like that that's going to happen. It just looks like the context is bigger than the actual acting, and you're very involved in it, and it goes on for a long time.
Oh, excellent.
And you also have a good business sense. I don't know if you know that. Very, very creative and very strong sense of what could work in a business, even if you don't do the numbers.
Cool.
But cool. You will know. I mean, Spirit's kind of pushing you. You're being pushed to awaken. And in that awakening, up comes some more ideas. And you've got some really good people around you. Take it slow right now if you can, because you're very thin inside. You know, you're more breakable right now.
That is such a great description, because that's exactly how I feel right now.
Yeah, and you should.
It's like, I feel very fragile. Yet, I mean, a lot of people are talking to me, so they don't see that because I try to hide it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, I do. That's exactly how I feel. Like, I feel very fragile. Like, so I'm, like, afraid to do anything.
Yeah.
I feel like, I'm in limbo. So I'm afraid to do anything.
Well, have a massage or something. Doing things like that is really good.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because you're going to change in spite of yourself. You know you're waking up, and the awakening is like, you know, like spring flowers. They don't sit around and discuss it. They just start popping through the ground, right?
Yeah.
I'm up in the Northwest. The image is better up here than there. Anyway, thank you for your call, Beth, and much love to you and many, many bright lights around you. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm sorry
so much.
It's hard. Hmm?
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. Bye. So that's an interesting call, because we could grieve and feel badly when somebody comes apart, but sometimes that's what's required, because once again, the energy sharing between two people on an intimate level can be self-suppressive, or it can be mutually invigorating, and it can have both of those parts in it. When it becomes too much deception or whatever, I'll finish this thought after I finish this call. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Yes, good day. I just kind of was curious if there's a way, without going to, say, a past life contact person, whether or not someone we have a relationship with or a friendship with now has been in our past lives.
Sure. Is it a girlfriend?
No. It's a male friend. He lives out of state, but we used to live in the same state, and it's just been an ongoing, I don't even know what to call it.
Is it a push-pull?
It's very odd. It's very odd. It's almost as though, for some reason, because of something that happened in the past life, that we are compelled to continue this relationship. It's not even a relationship. I mean, we see each other once a year.
But you're pulled. It's like you guys are on a string, right?
Totally.
That means it's a past life.
Well, I think that. But I mean, what do I owe in this past life that is making me put up with this all these years?
It's how many years has it been?
About 11.
Oh, my. That's a long time, huh?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so what it looks like is, first of all, he's usually mad at you, is he?
I beg your pardon?
Is he mad at you?
No, he doesn't get mad. It's just that every spring he goes into kind of a spring rut, and his rutting instinct sends him out into other relationships, and he kind of forgets that we're friends. And I understand this.
Why do you understand it?
Because it's a spring rut. I mean, I know men are not monogamous. I know they have to service the herds. I'm not naive enough to think that they really were created just to be with one woman.
Well, you've got a lot of reasons for him to be that way. But in any case, what I'm seeing is that this is a tie between two of you. Now, something that's really interesting is you want to know if it's past life. You can usually tell if it's bumpy, all right?
It's very bumpy.
Yeah, and the bumpiness is when not all past life connections, not all soul connections are bumpy. But the bumpy ones tell you that you have incompletions or lack of forgiveness, or you know what I'm saying? And sometimes they're the hardest ones to release, even though they're the ones you say, holy crap, I don't want to take this into my future. It's harder to leave that one than if it were a non-bumpy one. You see what I mean?
I see, yeah.
And the thing is that this one, is this fellow to me, is hidden, has hidden a kind of a petulance or a... he has something that you're supposed to pay for deep down. And I don't know whether, I can't even tell clearly right now what it is, but it's like I see him being at some level angry with you and showing you that you won't control him or something. More than him being a buck in the springtime, I see more that he's making sure that you are attached to him and realize that you won't control him. And it's very deep. It's ancient lineage. I can feel it right in the belly. You can probably feel it down the smile between the ovaries, you know that area?
Yes, uh-huh.
Can you feel that right now?
Well, I'm not feeling it there right now. I mean, we have a lot of wonderful episodes, but then... I mean, the swing is so extreme. This is why I really feel each of us must owe each other something from a past life. You know, and then once in a while he'll get fed up, or once in a while I'll get fed up, and I'll just say, look, this is really stupid. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And the minute I say that and hang up the phone, I feel very empty that I've just said that.
Yeah, because, you know, when the souls have been together for... I would say several lifetimes and thousands of years, it's hard just to dump it. I think that's why these kinds of relationships are way harder to get over. The emptiness shows that, I mean, he's a part of your soul journey. I talked about having other people's energy in the earth plane
mm-hmm.
level, but the ones that are cellular, I'm telling you, those are so deep, thousands of years old, and to pull them out, you have to change. It's like pulling out the bottom block in some kind of big block house. And he... The problem, okay, what I learned way too late to make this graceful in my own life is that when you recognize someone who's cellular and that you owe each other a whole lot, you don't have to go home with them. You can do clearing work on your own, okay? And then you avoid this kind of thing because you personally have somebody coming into your life who is really of the soul as well. This is something you're learning. But he's very much more evolved, and he wants the best for you and you for him. And you'll find instead of it being sacrificial the way it is with this fellow, it's sacrificial in the sense of the ego, and you'll grow together in a really beautiful way. But you don't really expect, and you're a very sweet woman, but you do not expect that that's possible in your life. And I'm saying it's going to knock you over the head, and you're going to love it. And it's very much like your... I have a wonderful partner in my life, and the guides call it soul allies. Soul allies being those who support each other and help each other get your greater service, your world service out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really enjoy one another, but it's like you could call it a working relationship, mean working into being on a soul level in integrity with yourself and your growth from now on, and being with somebody who pushes you to be there and does it for himself as well. And you do that for him. It's not push-pull. You'll notice a huge difference. It's like fresh air between you instead of push-pull. So I think this other fellow is an incomplete, and that's what makes the pull strong. But he's very immature, and he's got a lot of hidden anger.
Well, I mean, yeah, and this is not something that we will, this is not a relationship we will ever have a relationship together, you know, or be together.
Well, you have a relationship with him now. You can't get away from it. Right?
Well, I should say, like a physical relationship, or we live in different states. We work in different states.
Did you ever have a physical relationship with him?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Once a year. In fact, I think I need to rewatch that movie.
The Four Seasons.
No, the one with Alan Alda, and it's called Once Every Year?
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly, because it really reminds me, you know, we have been through a lot of different, obviously, experiences together,
mm-hmm.
and then every spring he will, you know, run off and have 1, 2, 3, 5 girlfriends, and then his rutting, I call it his rutting season, will run its course, and then he's very attentive. You know, phone calls meaning attentive, and
And is that enough for you?
No. Oh, definitely not.
Okay, so what I want to say is you're attached, and you're attached in this style, but you yourself can move on out of it. The other thing is you talked about, you know, the rutting season and the males are all like that, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're not. There are some people that are seeking a synergistic relationship, which is not necessarily easy to find, but it's a very deep growth pattern between two souls. Some people are looking for that. There's different kinds. I think Lazarus says there's 4 different categories. I don't know if there are, but anyway, he makes a lot of sense when he talks about there are 4 different subgroupings of people and relationships and how they go about them. Some people like serial relationships. Some people like long-term monogamy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're all different. Some are boys and some are girls, you know?
Right. But, I mean, is this something that I can overcome and finally say, all right, I have worked off this karmic debt for the past 10 years now. I think that this has really been enough.
I would really recommend this, okay? There's an old game I used to use when I had a really intense soul thing that I could not clear. I used to stand. Are you familiar with energy? Do you do energy?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you call them in and you go, I can't live without them, and that all that energy take its vibrance all over your body, and then command total release. And it'll disappear more and more. All of a sudden there's a no thing. But it's like face it, call it up, feel it, and command total release. Face it, call it up, and feel it, and command total release. Swish yourself out with light. You're going to go somewhere different. I don't know what you're going to do, but I see you going forward and headed in a slightly different direction, and that's where you meet the man that you really should be with for a long time. And he's very, very intelligent and very warm-hearted.
That would be delightful.
Yeah, what kind of work do you do?
I'm a teacher, but right now I'm doing consulting. I've been teaching at the local high school for over a decade.
Because it's got something to do with, like, a library at a university or something. I don't quite know. I'm not good at picking the place, because I believe if you're meant to meet someone, you could meet them in the following 12 places, you know. You know what I mean? Don't limit yourself. But I would call up and unhook those strings and cords that pull people together on a soul level. You know, there's nothing much to learn with this fellow anymore. And even though there's a deep affection at times, it's not really like a deep love relationship. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I do understand what you mean. I mean, this is what blows me away, that I continue to put myself in this position. This is why I feel that I'm just kind of stuck in a trap.
You are. But it's like if you looked at two souls as being these kind of plasticky things and they got a hook going from one to the other, you want to unhook it. So the guides always recommend, you know, I said that one about, I can't live without him. That means just exaggerate those horrible feelings that happen when he's not there.
Uh-huh.
And just let them come up and then say to the guides, take them, take those feelings. And you'll find you get these shifts in your body. And the other thing is to then fill yourself with light, swish yourself out with light. Don't hesitate to call in your higher guidance and say you need to really take this. The other thing is to go into your higher self and go talk to his higher self and unhook it that way. Make agreements with him to unhook it. Send him love, you know. There's no point even arguing with him because the whole thing will just pull the hook in tighter.
Right.
Nothing to argue about.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's not that we argue or anything like that. When we have these cutoffs, it's just, it's so strong and it's so... It really cut right down the middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I say, and then I'm just at such a loss. I just really don't feel whole.
Yeah, so you got to then head to your guides and angels and say, okay, fill me up, clear them out, fill me up, and stay busy for a little while. But you want to do some clearing because these ones are tricky. And I have to go now, but I really appreciate your call.
Oh, I appreciate your speaking to me so much, and thank you so much.
Many blessings.
You too. Thank you.
Boy, that's a really difficult one because we're talking about having other people's energies, and the soul energies thing is really complex. And again, I remind everybody that reading Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls by Michael Newman is excellent, or go on to Lazaris, LAZARIS.com, and check out his writings or his tapes on the soul journey. But it's true. If you're meant to... All right, let me just finish this thought, and then I'll talk to you at 444. If you're meant to meet someone, for good or ill, guess what? Your souls know a lot more than your mind does, and that's when we have to start operating from a much greater consciousness to either move them along or to encourage them to come on. All right, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, Veronica. This is Martha.
Hi, Martha. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just want to check in on a couple of things. Since the beginning of this year, things have felt very difficult for me. My spiritual exercises are not doing it for me. It's just been really hard, and I'm asking you, what's going on?
Are you? So you do have your own meditational practice, eh?
I do.
Something's, how old are you, Martha?
59.
Okay, something's going on in... here's what I'm seeing is you have a lot of pressure in the lower part of your rib cage. Do you notice that? In solar plexus, rib cage, and so on. And I'm looking at that going, you're changing quite radically in terms of your own personal power, in terms of who you are. There's a part of you that wants to be just really frustrated and throw over the traces of what's been going on. And there's a part of you that's just starting to bloom and be very new. And I think it involved, did you release someone, a close partnership?
Yes, it's been a while though, but yes, it's released.
Was it a woman?
A man.
A man?
Yes.
Did you release a woman friend, have an irate situation with a woman?
No.
Something about a woman here and something about you shifting a relationship, all of it has pushed you to reformat something, and there's... It's like makes my eyes water. I don't mean the tears. It means like it's an allergic reaction because there's a deep consternation in you about what it is I believe, where is it I'm going, who am I safe with. It almost gives me a headache. And the guys are showing this, that you will have a big change coming up. And this is what, March, by May, April, May, June? Huge change. And when you go through such disruptions, it's harder sometimes to go back to your familiar meditative practice. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's exactly that. It's just about every corner of my life has something going on.
What do you want to do? Do you want to change jobs?
What I would like to do is generate more income. It doesn't necessarily mean that I need to change my job, although that's an option. But I need to have more income and more energy. Things just don't seem to be clear in my mind as to what steps to take. I don't seem to be able to focus as clearly.
And you left your partner 2 years ago or a year ago?
A year ago.
Okay. And you're not sorry about that?
No, not at all. I'm relieved.
Okay, so let me go back in time here. It's because something happened when you were releasing that relationship that has not reformatted itself. I see you by next year, if not before, really kind of changing the way you work. It's huge. I don't know what's going to happen on the planet, but there's some big changes going on. But then it looks like you're changing your style of work. You're going to be much more in charge. You're going to be much more sovereign. I talked about self-reliance. You're going to have a great deal of that going on for you by next year. And I see you being kind of managing where you have not been managing. Meaning, are you in a management position? Are you a teacher?
No, I'm not.
Are you in a management position? Because it looks like you're going to be managing something.
Not really. I'm not in that kind of position right now.
Well, you're going to be.
I will be.
Yeah, and okay. And it looks like the subject, whatever is the company or the organization, is a subject that you truly have compassion and respect for.
Right.
And you're going to have respect, and you're going to have a very big interest in it. I see books around you, and I see also your ability to innovate in this project in such a way that even though you're going to work, it's more like a study project because you're always learning more and adding more details and pieces to it. And you seem very content.
Mm.
And there seems to be a woman that you've had some kind of disagreement with, or we saw it at the beginning and here she is again. And there's something about settling whatever that disagreement is that's going to bring you closer to home with yourself, because your job over the next 10 years is to be more and more true to who you really are and what it is you want to create in this world because of your soul drive. Your soul drive is very unique and very compassionate. You have love, you have perception, you have humility, which a lot of people don't have. And you're going to bring all those together. You won't be as alone either. So you're coming forward, girl. This is a very confusing time. Do you do physical workouts?
No, but I'm just starting it up again.
Yeah, I think you need to do that because remember, it dumps stuff out of our body and
right.
Also increases the endorphins and the neurochemistry in the brain, you know?
Yeah, I had injured my foot about 8 weeks ago, which kind of pulled things to a halt. And I'm saying, what is all this about?
It's stopping you so that you catch on. You know, it's like we move in spirals deep down inside. And you're slow enough right now to let some spirals move up and out and dump some old ways of thinking and feeling.
Right.
I'm telling you, by the time you're 60, you're going to be a very different woman. And it's not because you're different from you. It's you're different into you. You see?
Yes.
And I think your perceptions will increase. Your writing will increase. Your studies will increase. Something about written word, books, all kinds of interesting things that you're going to bring to the work.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense in that the turbulence and the confusion that I feel now, which seems so foreign to me, is an indication of a bridge.
Yes, it sure is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like levels of your soul. The soul is disrupting your world because the outside, the external part of you, is not in accord or in harmony with the next level of your soul's productivity. And it's going to be very soon, you watch.
Mm.
You're going to have a few fights with a few people, and I don't think that's your nature.
And this woman that's out there, I don't have any clue who that might be, other than my own children.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't worry about it. If you feel like it, email me, let me know when it happens, because it's often interesting to have someone to write to about it.
Right.
And I'd love to hear, but it seems like it may not be a knockdown dragout because that's not your nature, but it is something where you disagree enough to help refine what it is you truly believe. You know how that works.
Yeah.
And so thank you so much for your call.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
One of the things about today's show, and thank you so much for the calls. It's been just wonderful for me. One of the things about today's show is I want to say that in the middle of these changes in this last woman, boy, these changes are absolutely thorough and incredible, but they move toward, they spiral in toward a much softer, kind of a clearer level. So I would say to you, when you're in the middle of these changes, think about first aid, okay? What's your first aid? As you call in the presence of your guides and angels, and you cause, Carolyn Corey taught me recently, call in your connection to Source as well. So you want your guides and angels and Source. because a lot of times the answers come maybe not in like a Shazam, here is your answer, take this, you know. They'll come in kind of a permeating way. They sort of permeate, especially for women, I think. I don't know about everybody, but they permeate your consciousness, and the answers will start to come through. Other people will offer you something or something in your life. So your first aid is you call on your guides and angels and your source connection, and you move into some real breathing techniques. If you only have a few minutes, do 2 minutes of rapid panting through the nose. Center yourself. Run some golden light up through your body, mind, or some violet flame, or both. And remember, we're so conflicted and fraught by everybody else's energy, it's hard to get clear answers. So we always do this kind of clearing. And then relax a little bit and let answers come to you. Write, journal, pray. Talk to God, do a workout, shift your endorphins. Don't panic. Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle saying, thank you ever so much for your calls. You've been courageous. You've been really willing to share, and I really have learned a lot, and I hope everybody else has. I'd love it if you email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Now, I'll be on Jackie's show. Oh, our next show is Paradigm Shifter Bashar. Bashar is, are you ready for this? He's a hybrid human and future Esasani, an alien being, who comes in through one of his past lives, Daryl Anka. And this is a pre-record. I've run it once before, but not enough people heard it. And those who did were very delighted. So if you want to listen to somebody who's channeling or listen to this being channeled, and he's going to tell you a lot about what his perceptions are like off this dimension and out there, and what it is that these beings of consciousness are doing in and around the Earth plane at this time. So stay tuned at the top of the hour for some time with Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R, and you can do www.bashar.org and learn about him yourself. And on Thursday night, I'll be on with Jackie Salvitti, and we're still exploring the shadow because it's certainly very infinite. And next week, I'm having a wonderful guest. His name is Liz Mitten. I think it's Mitten. I didn't write her name down here. But anyway, she wrote One with the Herd, and her website is onewiththeherd.com. And she talks about, talking about shared energy, she talks about herd consciousness and horses. And she really knows how to be in that. Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience that she's going to share with us next week. So check onewiththeherd.com. This is Veronica Entwistle with Radiance by Design saying, if you can, stay tuned because we're going to hear from Bashar at the top of the hour. Much love and many blessings.